The Napoleonic Era, Napoleon in Exile, 1815 to 1821, Napoleon's funeral and his grave and burial. Now, Sir Hudson Lowe did a lot of the planning and did a great job from the moment the cortege left Longwood all the way to the grave site. So we'll look at how he makes it very pomp and circumstance oriented. Did a good job. The accounts by the different members who wrote memoirs cover certain important aspects differently. Now, I'm choosing to use Bertrand's. He appears to be one of the most trustworthy, but there are pieces that need to be added on to. So, for example, now, the funeral takes place on May the 9th, 3 days after his death. First thing that took place was the funeral mass and the service for the dead took place at 10 o'clock in the morning. And in the morning, they dealt with the coffins. Bertrand talks about that the lead coffin was placed in a walnut coffin. So this is where a lot of times you'll have people who say, well, Napoleon was buried in two coffins. That is incorrect. He's actually buried in four. Now, the preparation for Napoleon's burial was very extensive regarding both his coffin and his grave. The members of Napoleon's small group of followers at St. Helena knew that one day the body would probably be dug up and returned to France. So to that end, they made very deliberate plans to preserve the body, even without the necessary embalming equipment. First, the heart and the stomach of Napoleon were removed. We've talked about that. Placed in separate silver vases, both hermetically sealed. Then he was, of course, dressed in his uniform of the colonel of the chasseurs of the guard, with his medals. The body, thus dressed, was first placed in a tin coffin. That tin coffin was then soldered shut. The tin coffin was then placed in a second one, which was made of mahogany. The mahogany coffin was then placed inside a third one, which was made of lead. The lead coffin was also soldered shut like the first, in a further attempt to keep air and moisture out. And then at the grave, the three coffins were then lowered into a fourth, which was again made out of mahogany. The process was completed with the final screwing down of the lid with iron screws. So, although Bertrand says it's two coffins, it's actually four. And we, of course, get that when he's dug up in 1840, and they have to they want to check on him, and so they have to go through all of those, and then in the end, they put him back into a fifth one. So, it did a really good job on this particular part of it. From here, we have Bertrand's account that we can utilize again. The coffin was draped with blue velvet pall, and laid on top was the cloak that Napoleon had worn at the Battle of Marengo, a crucifix, and a white satin cushion on which laid his sword, forming a cross with the scabbard. Then the body was carried out to the hearse. Now remember that they had switched Bertrand's sword initially for Napoleon's in case Sir Hudson Lowe wanted to make off with it. But at this point, that's not going to happen, so they can put it back on top. The funeral procession set out in the following order. First, the priest, Abbe Vignali, in full canonical dress, full vestments. Besides him walked Henri Bertrand, carrying the holy water. Behind them walked Dr. Antomarchi and Dr. Arnaud. Then came the body of the emperor on a basket-shaped stage that had been erected on his old carriage. Carriage was draped in black and drawn by his four horses, with two postillions in livery. Marchand and Napoleon Bertrand held the two front tassels of the pall, and Montholon and Bertrand the two back ones. Napoleon's state horse followed, led by Archambault. Then came Ali, Navarrez, Perrion, Corsant, and the cook. In the emperor's carriage, also draped in black and drawn by two horses with one postillion, were Madame Bertrand with Hortense and Arthur, their children, followed by the governor and his retinue. At the entrance of to Longwood and on the bank on the left of the road was drawn up the 20th and the 66th Regiment, the company regiment, the artillery of the company, and the Chaussière volunteers. Groups of onlookers were gathered on a slight rise in front of Hut's Gate on the eminence leading up towards the plantation house opposite Major Harrison. The artillery company was drawn up with the 10 or 11 pieces of field artillery. When the funeral procession left the main road, as the track leading to the grave was not wide enough The grenadiers of the 20th Regiment carried the body, relayed in turn by men of the 66th Regiment, the artillery, and the navy. So the British troops are carrying his coffin. This is going to be a load, lead coffin, tin coffin, the other coffins. So they got a workout. They set the coffin down by the side of the grave. The troops followed the procession from Longwood as far as where the road branched off. Three salvos of 15 rounds were fired by the artillery from the main road as the body was lowered from the hearse, and then a salvo was fired every minute by naval and coastal artillery. Quite a show. The governor's procession rode from the gardens of Longwood to the fork in the road, where it dismounted and went on foot. Now, there's about 2,000 troops involved in this. The priest alone blessed the grave, and the body was then lowered into it by means of pulleys, and the opening of the vault was then closed by a large stone. Abbe Vignali, the priest, gave another blessing and repeated some prayers. The stone which covered the entrance to the vault was laid and mortared. Then the whole surface was covered with a layer of cement. The surface opening of the grave, which was 7 feet long by 4 feet wide, was closed and covered by a wooden plank by which black drapery had been attached. The whole ceremony lasted an hour or two. Lady Low and her daughter were present with the governor, and there was a great concourse of people from the whole island that were present. Now then, let's fix a little of this, because there's no mention of the depth. Sir Hudson Low was afraid that somebody would try and steal the body. Well, that's not a surprise. Not any big deal. But you never heard any depth. Nobody talked about the depth. Napoleon's grave is 12 feet deep. Not 6 feet, it's 12 feet deep. Each side of the grave has 2 feet of masonry. At the bottom of the grave, what they were talking about, because it makes it sound like they put the coffins in, then they covered the vault, and then that's it. Well, the vault is down 12 feet. They put stone and masonry on the dirt, so the coffins did not actually touch the soil, not at least on the ground. And then they put, stone around it, and then they covered a section of it over the top. The vault is closed with masonry and stone. But that vault is the 4-foot section at the bottom. Then the grave, you have 8 feet between the vault cover and the edge of the dirt at the top. Now that is filled in with dirt. So we have 8 feet of dirt that's then piled in. Then over the top of that dirt, because remember you've got masonry on all 4 sides, what they did is they put a gigantic piece of limestone. They put a limestone slab 6 inches thick over the top of that, and then put iron clamps on 4 corners and pinioned it to the concrete sides. I mean, they were afraid that we were going to have a resurrection here. And one of the problems with this is when they come to exhume him in 1840, it's going to take a long time. I think it takes more than 24 hours with teams of people to get down to the very bottom. Now, there's also a weeping willow tree nearby. Napoleon really liked it, which is one of the reasons why they picked the spot. He also liked the spot. He'd been here many times. And some of the people who had come from the village, some of the people there at the gravesite, started tearing pieces of that willow tree off for souvenirs. Now, of course, the thing about a willow tree is you get a branch, you put it in water, it'll sprout, you'll get a tree. And there are living descendants of that original tree. Used to be able to buy it. I've been looking online for a while, and I haven't been able to find one. I have not given up yet. So, Sir Hudson Lowe, that concerned him. So he put a fence around the whole thing to keep people away. Ultimately, the weeping willow will eventually be pulled out of the ground by visitors years later and brought back to France. But there is no headstone. There's no name. There's nothing, because they didn't want Bonaparte. They didn't want to put Napoleon as emperor, so they just left it as is. And so that's Napoleon's grave. He's in 4 coffins down 12 feet with a little fence around it and a big heavy stone covering the top of it and a masonry vault at the bottom where the coffins are. So he is not going anywhere. Now the sources for this: Napoleon St. Helena by Martineau, Cashiers de St. Helena by General Bertrand, Napoleon in Exile by O'Meara, Les Derniers Moments de Napoleon by Antomarchi, Memoirs by Louis Marchand, With Napoleon at St. Helena by Dr. Stokey, The St. Helena Story by Dame Mabel Brooks, and an article from Volume 2, Number 1, Military Collectors Association Journal by Robert L. Packett.